would hear your voice with clarity and understanding. Let us remember, God, that you have charged us to be oracles, that we might go and tell the world of the risen Christ. Please, God, again, forgive us of our sins. Have mercy upon us, we do pray. Cleanse us, we pray, that we might know the righteousness of God and not the righteousness of ourselves. Lord, we pray that we would be able to serve others just as we have been served. Let us remember, Lord, that it is blessed when we give. And we pray, God, that our giving will be according to your will for our lives and the word that you have entrusted to us. Again, Lord, we pray for even the absent part of our discipleship, that others will join with us, that they would come to know Christ as we've come to know Christ. Again, we ask that you forgive us of our sins and have mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's go again to Hebrews chapter 5. That's been our setup area. And thank God for Minister Dickerson and Minister White for that's all I needed to hear. I was waiting on somebody to tell me that. Yes, sir.
Minister Dickerson preached from Matthew like a pita and a chicken.
Chickens, oh, Lord.
Minister White preached for George Benoit, Psalm 100.
Lord bless you, Ernestine. You done gone up the road a ways. Yes, sir. The rest of y'all should remember stuff like that. Amen. Again, we're looking at our developing our spiritual foundations and securing our lives in sanctification. So there's a lot of truth to what we need to recognize. And one of the ways we recognize better the truth is that we dispel the lies. Remember, we said before that a half truth is a whole lie. So Paul talks again, or the Hebrew writer, the argument can be raised over and over again. But what Hebrew writer is trying to get them to understand is how their relationship in God and their understanding of the word of God is going to shape their entire lives. One of the things that we need to recognize as Christians is that we cannot live without the word. You know, the Bible says that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word, every. That means you know, and we do this in the church, and this is not Pastor trying to be mean spirited, but I'm being honest with you. We pick our favorite scripture and we know it by heart. We know some of us like this one and some of us like that one. And if you monitor people's lives closely, sometimes they just live by the ones they like. Amen. Amen. Go right there somewhere. The reality is it's every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. When God says love your neighbor, he means love your neighbor. He don't mean like them or I have put up with people or Lord, that's my cross to bear. Love is love. And the reality is the same way that you want to be loved is the way you ought to love. If you want to love people with a cold fish handshake, that's what you're going to get back. And don't get an attitude when people treat you that way. If you want to be mean spirited to some folk and wonder why people are mean spirited back to you, because that's what you do. And every word of God says that this is how we have to live our lives. He also tells us to honor our father and our mother. You can't walk around to my mama, make me sick, and I can't stand my daddy, and I ain't gonna never speak to him again, and expect to live a blessed life. That's disobedience. Bible says God's not gonna bless us in any level of disobedience. I don't care if you are the preacher. Care if you're a senior deacon, junior deacon, middle deacon. I don't care if you're a trustee. I don't care if you're the pope. If you don't obey the word of God, you're going to suffer. Every word that comes from the mouth of God, it's in that book you have. It's on your iPad. It's on your tablet. Whatever form you have to learn it, you cannot opt out of it. Our lives in Christ Jesus are primarily lives of obligation. We owe God. And I think in the 2012 century of the church or the 2012 year of the church or this time we're living in, there's too much evidence that folks seem to think they don't owe God. You are not your own. We owe God. And if we owe, we ought to be willing to do whatever the Lord asks us to do without fighting him. It's obedience. So he said, listen, if you're going to live spiritually mature lives, there's some things, thank you, Sister Scott. There's some things that you need to be doing. And one of the things we need to be doing is being obedient to the word of God and living like we're learning. I told y'all to write that one down a couple of weeks ago, that your learning dictates your living. Your learning dictates your living. Them that don't learn much, don't live very well. Statistics prove that if you have a higher education, if you learn more, you tend to increase your quality of life. Amen. You are not going to live a millionaire's life with a McDonald's mentality. Unless you own McDonald's. I mean, own the whole McDonald's, not a franchise. So what we have to understand is this spiritual dullness or spiritual immaturity is detrimental not only to Melvin, but to the husband and then the wife and then the family. A spiritually immature husband sets his whole family up for ignorance. A spiritually immature wife sets her daughter up for ignorance. How many of us have seen the cyclic lives that people live? A mother that got pregnant at an early age generally has a daughter that got pregnant. Y'all don't want to talk to me now. I've been gone a long time. I thought y'all would be glad to see me. Fathers who father boys and don't marry the mamas tend to have sons that father children and don't marry the mama. It's just, it's cyclic. It's because if the head, excuse me, if the head is messed up, the body is messed up. So if a spiritually immature Deacon Johnson or a spiritually immature Deacon McKenzie or a spiritually immature Trustee Thompson, those sons or daughters or family members in that line run a good chance of being spiritually immature copycats. How many of you have talked to people and said, well, my mom and daddy didn't go to church. I don't go to church. Most of my family don't go to church. I don't go. I don't see. We all right. That's spiritual immaturity. What foolishness. Paul asked the church, he said, what got into y'all? Y'all were doing so well. How many of us have seen the number of people that have come down this aisle, confess Christ, and fall by the wayside? You were doing so well for 20 minutes. You know, every second of your life plays into the next second of your life. That's why Jesus says, whosoever will. We can't look at him and say, you ain't going to make it. How many of you been told by somebody that you weren't going to be something or do something? What did that do to you? It either makes you more determined or it destroys you. So you got to make a decision. And that's all we're asking. We're asking the Christian church to make a decision related to the things of God. All right, now let's go again, Hebrews 5. This time we're going to slide down a little bit further and we're going to get to verse 13. Verse 13 says, a person who is living on milk isn't very far along in the Christian life. And doesn't know much about doing what is right. So how can you be spiritually mature? First of all, you're not very far along. Let me tell you something. Being far along has nothing to do with how many years you've been in the church. Being far along has nothing to do with how many years you've been in the church. Being far, did I say that twice? Let me say it one more time. It don't matter how long you've been hanging around church. That don't mean you've gone anywhere spiritually. Some of us are at immature level when we get here and die immature because we will not commit our way to Christ. We don't love the Lord. We're not obedient to the word. We're not doing the things of God. Coming to church, clapping your hand, patting your feet and dancing is not doing the things of God. They do that at the club and better than we do. They can do the Dougie. They can do the electric slide. They got all them dances. And if you ain't careful, church dances look just like club dances. In fact, some of what they learn in the club, they bring it to the church and make a new step. And then tell us the word said, make a joyful noise and dance to the Lord. That's all I'm doing. Well, the reality is they're not very far along. You done move from the back pew to the fourth pew. That don't mean you far along. You can't brag and boast that I go to church every Sunday. That doesn't mean you far along. Doesn't mean anything. What we do know is the litmus test of Christianity is you'll know the tree by the fruit that it bears. We believe in sharing around here. So what I'm saying is, them ones yours. Oh, it don't matter then. It says to us that they're not far. Now, notice, he does not put anybody's name there. You know why? This applies to anybody. It can apply to you. It can apply to you. It can apply to you and me. You know why? Because we've learned to fake it. He said, there's a way that seemeth right. And don't be fooled that everybody that call his name don't know him. Even the Lord said that. He said, many of you will come before me saying, Lord, in your name. He said, I'm going to look at you and say, I don't even know you. You've been faking it. There is a church mentality. That don't mean we're saved. A whole lot of folk ain't saved. I got three amens. Whole lot of folk. Oh, your hair looks nice. Whole lot of folk ain't saved. They ain't far along. They sitting right here with us and aren't far along. It ain't going to take but one bad situation to get most folk to walk out the church. If they don't get the job they've been praying for, or if they get laid off, or if they don't get the loan, or if they get offended, or if the pastor look at me while he preaching and he told him, and I'm leaving. The Bible said nothing shall be able to separate us. You can't tell that lie if you can't live that truth. Didn't I say something right there? Nothing shall separate us. Look around this church. You got folk that don't show up now because they mad about something I said or something they heard or something we didn't do or somebody we didn't recognize. They should have went and saw Sister So-and-so. They didn't recognize my daddy. They didn't. And gone away from the church. They were living a lie. Didn't walk. Am I preaching all right? I ain't going back up there no more. Okay. You weren't very far along. Let me tell you something that I learned a long time ago. Anytime it's easier for you to go back to the start point than to press toward the finish, you didn't go very far. Let me see if I can help y'all in your own world. How many of you have ever left home, thought about something you forgot, and say, well, I done gone too far. I'm not turning around now. That makes sense in your life, don't it? My wife called me yesterday. I was on my way home. She called me. She said, honey, could you stop to the store and get some Italian dressing and some pickle relish? I said, I'm too far from Walmart. I'm closer to home than I am to Walmart. I'm not turning around. Much as I love her, and Italian dressing on the pasta salad would be better, but I'm not turning around. Let me tell you something. There are too many Negroes. Ain't that far from the start point. That's why it's easy for them to walk out of here and quit. I ain't going back to church. I'm getting out of the choir. I'm getting off the ministry. I don't want to preach no more. I don't want to be a deacon no more. I don't want to do it. Because you ain't left the start point. You about that far from the start line. Anytime it's easier for you to go back the way you started than to try to get where you're supposed to be going, you ain't gone that far. Am I preaching good? You ain't going nowhere. You can quit that easy. Oh, you used to fall in the flow and speak in tongues, and you were serving in the ministry. You were everywhere. And then when something didn't go your way or something came up, there are going to be rumors and lies till we leave here. Ignore that foolishness. What does the Bible say? Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things, think on those things. Stop falling for the okey-doke. They're going to be lying on Minister Dixon. They're going to lie on her. They're going to lie on me. And some of it may be true. But that's not why you got saved. You didn't come to the Lord to hear my report. Whose report are we going to believe? They say he did this. They say she did that. I don't need no church like that. Every church got some mess in it. And the reason we know that, because you in it. Amen. Don't act like y'all, all y'all got something. Don't make me ask questions of intimacy here. You want to put mess out of church? Then you go ahead and leave. Deacon Johnson said something years ago. Why leave where you are to take what you got somewhere else? I paraphrased it a little bit, but basically said, if you leaving with mess, you just going to carry it somewhere else. Why not get your business straight here? That's what's wrong with too many of us in the church. We got too much unfinished business. Too much. You right. He said, you're not very far along. If this is where you are now, and this is your attitude after all these here years, and you can quit, walk away, You're not that. You can't be that far from the start point. Come on, y'all. We ain't babies no more. He said that there's a problem. He said these people are not very far along. He's talking to the church. I don't know why when we talk Bible, church folk get mad. The truth makes us what? It don't make us mad. I didn't read that scripture. Do you read that scripture? Did you read that scripture? Any deacon found that scripture? It is the truth that liberates us. Don't sit in and fold your arms and roll your eyes and can't wait to get the next moment to act like you go in the bathroom and then go to your car. So what happened to Ozea? You wish God thought she went to the bathroom. She ain't come back in. Look at all these absentee people here. Look around this room. I see them. Don't think I don't notice. They weren't very far along. I don't care how old you are. I don't care when you put your name on Brookville Baptist papers. I don't care what your certificate. I don't care. You could not have been that far along if you can just walk back that quick. How many of you ever had somebody leave home and come back and say, you must not have got too far? Amen? You back already? You must not have gone too far. That's what the world is saying. And the enemy loving it. The devil sitting there grinning, saying, ooh, I knew she wasn't going to go that far. There comes a time in your life when U-turns are just not the most productive thing to do. That's why the old folks sang that song, I wouldn't trade nothing for my journey. I've come too far to turn back. And it ain't just a James Cleveland melody. It must become the dogma of our life. I'm telling you not, we ain't no babies. All this whining and sucking our teeth and won't come to church, don't want to do this. No, you ain't been that far, have you? He said, what hinders you? You used to do so well. Oh, y'all done fell out of love already. I got two more weeks to take then. I'm like, what? He said, listen, watch. This is. Where's my thing? Okay, this is the, could somebody get that for me? This is the problem here. He said, if you're living like that, you're void of the Christian life. See, he suggests to us there is a separation between your secular life and your spiritual life. He said, I don't care what y'all do in the world. He said, you just ain't very far along as a Christian. I believe Brother Johnson worked many years and he added up and he could retire. Brother Addison did it. He worked many years, put his time in, he could retire. All that added up. He was far enough along to leave. He may not have had the age, but he had the years, whatever the case might be. And that's secular. They ain't got nothing to do with the church. The only retirement plan that God has is unto death. I told y'all all the time, y'all laugh when I say it, but I'm, where Jess? Jess, I need Jess to be here. It's just like it when I do my putting on the hits. But you know, Michael Jackson was right. You ought to be starting something. All us in the church ought to be doing something, and we ought to do it till we die. I told all of the young brothers when they were signing on to be deacons, and I'm sure your pastor told you, you got to do this for life. Don't be no deacon because you my buddy. Don't take this assignment because you like me or think you can help me. You ought to do this till you die. Anything you do for the Lord ought to be doing and done till you die. My words got confused, but I fixed it in the end. You ought to be doing it till you die. I'm going to preach till I die. If it ain't here, somewhere. I'm never going to stop preaching. I will be preaching till I die. Somewhere. If I have to get me a soapbox and stand on the corner because y'all won't let me stay in the church, I'll be preaching. I said, look at that man. He up there again. This is what I am. How do you not be what God called you to be? The Bible says we are a chosen generation. Chosen means y'all be doing something. Don't nobody pick nobody, just sit around and do nothing. I'm tired now. James Cleveland said, I don't feel no ways tired. Again, I've come too far. Turn back now. Hey, I'm getting old. Let the younger ones take over the choir. Are you serious? We already talking about there ain't enough young people here. Who going to take over then? Amen. These would come. They're not babies no more. There was a time when we can say, look, young Miss Raven and Jasmine. These women now, these are mature women. So how are we going to keep turning around trying to let the kids? This baby don't know nothing about reading music. She likes singing. We're going to try. Well, them young kids coming up now. Listen, the Bible says train up the child. That means the trainers need to be training. I'm going to pass it on. To who? We made the mistake of letting our deacons get too old. They're good brothers, but we let them get too old. We should always have a new cycle of deacons coming. We let Brother Johnson and Brother McKenzie and them get too old. Deacon Clark, I mean, God help us. Bless Deacon Clark now. He has a problem with dementia, Alzheimer's. He didn't know that was going to happen. We should always be looking for the next servants of God. That's our responsibility. And then we wonder why the church get lethargic and burn out. Because we're not very far along. We're not training up the next generation. Spiritual immaturity is detrimental to any church. You cannot turn over the keys to people who don't know how to drive. You cannot turn over the spiritual things of God to folk who cannot handle spiritual things. Aaron was a good priest, but his sons offered God strange fire. They tried to take a shortcut. Eli was a good man. His sons were just sorry. Samuel was a good man. His sons were just sorry. It wasn't his fault. They just chose not to go very far along. And again, I can tell you, you can be born to a priest and still be a jackrabbit. No matter unless you subscribe or ascribe to the things of God, because your daddy a preacher don't make you some hot shot. Don't fool yourself. He said, they're not doing anything. He said, they haven't gotten anywhere. Now, the problem is, and he makes it clear, it's not what he was teaching them. It's that they wouldn't learn. Notice what he says. He said they are on milk, and that has hurt them. Old saints, senior saints will tell you, if you keep feeding a baby milk too long or formula too long, it starts to rot their teeth. So they can't chew on nothing solid. You have to know when to quit. How many of you ever seen a child walking around with a bottle, and you say, now that Negro is too big. He's walking around with a bottle hanging out his head. Whose child is that? With a binky. That's a new word for pacify. 6 years old and sitting there with a pacify. You say, oh, Lord, that boy's slow, ain't he? How many of y'all ever said that? I know I ain't the only one. Thank you. You ever say, there's got to be something wrong with him. Yeah, oh, the thumb thing. Well, we got grown folks still do that. I ain't one of them, but I got a cousin that still do this. No, this thing. Boy, what is wrong with you? Man, leave me alone. But the truth of the matter is, he said, listen, they cannot handle solid food. Watch this. He said, solid food, verse 14, is for those who are mature. Watch this now. Who have trained themselves to recognize. You know what he's saying? He's saying at some point after you've been trained, you ought to be able to sustain your own self. After the pastor done taught and taught and taught, you shouldn't just fall apart because he's not there one Sunday. You shouldn't fall apart because you take your vacation and then forget you belong to the body of Christ. He said they should be able to handle it themselves. Nudge your neighbor and say, handle your business. It's in the text. I didn't make it up. He said, solid food, good word, solid teaching, good preaching, good teaching is for those who are mature. Again, would you give the keys to a Corvette to a rookie driver? That's a bad idea. That Corvette will go get it. You can give them the keys to a Vega. Do you have a car? No car? They mean you can't drive, can you? Can you drive? No, you can't get the keys then. How would it look for me to hand this young, what's your name? And to take my car and run to the store for me. Would you do it? Thank you, Jesus. I have a Mercedes. Don't do it. I mean, it wouldn't make no sense to give her the keys. She can't drive. She hadn't been trained. And if she got any sense, which she apparently does, she said, no, thank you. I'm not going to do that. That's irresponsible on my part. But I can turn to Brother Melvin. I can turn to Sister Vicky. I can go to Brother Thomas and say, listen, can you make a run for me? Because I know they've been trained. And now they have taken what they learned. Somebody taught you how to drive, didn't they? Yeah. Some of us are self-taught. Some of us just got in the car and just went for it. But the reality is now he can handle it because he knows what to do. If he gets in a bad way, he knows not to overcorrect. He knows how to break and get back in the situation in the road. But if you can't train and handle it yourself, we can't let you loose you on nothing. Remember when you were a young deacon, just starting out? There were some things now that you're a little more equipped to do than you were then. I mean, I know you're still young. Don't brag now. You won't always be that age. But I mean, that thing that, because now he said, listen, the church should be able to self-maintenance itself. It's in the text. Soon as the pastor gone, everything shouldn't fall apart. Because I don't come to Bible study. Somebody said, well, listen, we were doing this. Let me read from my notes. That's why the Bible says we overcome by the words of our testimony. That's because we got some training in us. How many of you cooks have learned the difference between a pinch and a dash? Ain't no real measurement for it, but you learned it over time. Now, you cook mama recipes better than she do. How many of y'all took somebody's recipe and made it better than they made it, and then they got mad at you? They say, well, this is your recipe, child. I didn't mind. It don't taste like this. I'll never forget my cousin. My aunt makes sweet potato pies. They're pretty good. And she taught my cousin how to make them. And my cousin added a couple of little things. And we had one of them family gatherings, and they were eating the sweet potato pies. And people were like, ooh, child. Llewellyn, you've put something in these pies. Ooh, child. And finally she said, I didn't make them darn pies. Joyce made them. Needless to say, Joyce was the black sheep of the family just because of a pie. Everybody said, well, you were better than your mama's. And then messed around and somebody turned to Llewellyn and said, hey, Llewellyn. She just made it better. She added something. Because she was trained and she said, okay, now I'm going to do something on my own. How many of you feel qualified to do something on your own for the kingdom? Thank you. You should. You can say, well, and you don't have to get up and say, well, I can't teach or preach like pastor, but I'm just get up and do your thing. He said, listen, they have trained themselves to recognize the difference between right and wrong and then do what is right. That's spiritual maturity. They can handle solid food now. They love the word of God. They love the assembling of the saints. They love serving. They're not just selfish about being served. It ain't all about you getting something. I left that church. They ain't never do nothing for me. So, you know what? You selfish. It ain't about you. Amen. Bible says you ought not think too highly of yourself, but esteem others a little highly. Amen. How you feel about others? Can I tell you something? The higher you lift other people, the higher you go yourself. Because in order for you to get them up there, you got to be up there too. High and lifted up. That's what the song says. The higher you lift other people, the higher you're going to be yourself. He says, you know what? They ought to be going a little further. They ought to be handling digestive matters a little more readily because they have given themselves a fair chance. Let me tell you what happens to most of the church. Most of the church doesn't give itself a chance. Most of us are so easily distracted. Remember, that was one of our points earlier, distractions. Y'all remember your points? Who got their notes? There were five of them. Who got your notes? I can find mine quickly. I have one of these fancy devices. But I want to see if y'all got them. Who can find them? I gave you five good ones. Four good ones, I think. Might be four. Distractions was one of them. Discipline. Dedication. See, you ought to be able to readily look at yourself and say, do I meet these characteristics? Do I meet these tests? Do I have the discipline that is necessary to be a walker of Christ, a disciple? Can I stay with him? What was the other one? Dedication. Am I committed to the relationship? Now, listen, don't just be dedicated to Brookville. Be dedicated to the Lord. Because this brother came from Chicago, Illinois. But he's in the house of God today. He's not at Trinity today. But he's committed to Christ. So he said, I'm going to church. Wherever he goes, he says, I'm going to the house of the Lord. That's commitment to Christ, because God is everywhere. Churches may have a little different flavor and all that kind of stuff, but I come to hear a word from the Lord. That's dedication. Got to be a church around here somewhere. And I'm not talking about turning on the TV and watching Jake's. I'm not going on your streaming faith, and I want to be in the house. You watch, how many of you can be honest enough to admit when you're watching ministries on TV, you don't really stay focused. You're doing other things. You're walking out the room and coming back and leaning to the TV. But in here, you can't be stirring up no cake and walking around picking your fingernails and clipping your toenails. You better not clip your toenails in here. You sitting there watching TV and you clipping your toenail, ping! Say, what you want over there? Sitting there soaking your feet and all that kind of stuff and eating a burrito. No Mexican food don't set well with you. Amen. But in here, you got to focus. Take it all in. What was the other one? Dedication. What was the other one? Development. Just what we just said in the verse 3. Are you growing? I mean, come on. Let's just be honest with ourselves. If we're not growing, you're not only wasting your time, but you're wasting mine. Hey, we're wasting each other's time. If we're not growing, if you don't walk out of here today with something, you got some notes yet? See, that's growing. She's going to take these with her. Let me see what you wrote down. The pastor is crazy. You can't write stuff like that. That'll help her grow. Not that crazy part. But you have to understand, you cannot waste time. The Bible says the idle mind is what? The Bible does not say that. That's not in the Bible. Your grandma made that up. That is not in the scripture nowhere. Y'all fail for that one. But it's a reality though. Really, if you don't work past idolatry, you're gonna be in trouble. You know, and idolatry talks about false things and fake things, but also the idol, I-D-L-E, idleness of your mind is trouble. Because when you're not doing anything, other stuff can get in. Okay? So what we have to understand is that we're not developing. You know, we ought to be able to see something in all of you. By now, you know, I always brag about my friend. I love her so much, Sister Woodson. Been around this church a lot of years. But I'm telling you now, I believe she's developed. I think that the reality is that we ought to be helping each other check that sometime. Every now and then, you know, as sisters, we ought to have a conversation. As husbands and wives, we ought to kind of see where we are. You know, if you still have the same jacked up opinions you had 10 years ago, something's wrong with that. You still around here sucking your face up and little stuff. Something, if you ain't grown past, every time they, the same thing. You get the same attitude every year about the same stuff, something's wrong with you. I'm serious. If every time certain people do certain things in the church, you go, there she go again. See, you need to grow past that, because you're going to mess around and have a heart attack, an aneurysm, a stroke, or something. And we're going to wonder what, we're going to think that something just suddenly befell you when it's just something you've been building up all the time. You, every time, when the pastor do a certain thing, there he go again. Ooh, he kill me when he do that. You dying. I'll do your funeral. He kill me. Ooh, he make me sick every time. See, you ain't grown past that yet. I mean, am I preaching good? Somewhere along the line, you got to develop. There she go again. There he go. Ooh, every time they sing that song, it just do something to me. See, you got to develop. You are so immature to be sitting up in the house of God and lose your worship spirit over nothing. Child just took everything out of me. My grandma said, if folk can take stuff out of you, you got too many ways to get in. She was wise. She said, if they can get it out of you that easy, you got too many ways for them to get in. Don't let that happen. Bible said if the strong man had known the hour that the thief would come, he'd have been ready. I'm not going to let you take worship out of me. I'm not going to let you take my joy. Sometimes y'all do. I must admit, sometimes y'all get to me. Especially when I read that finance report from last week, I got mad. I said, what? Sister Price gave me my update. I said, you got to be kidding me. We got to stop doing that stuff, y'all. We stealing from God too regularly around here. There's too much stealing going on. This house is in trouble like that. Did I go the other way with it? I sure did. It came to me. The Holy Ghost said, go and drop it in right now. Can I do my Ivy Hill yet? Amen, amen, amen. I'm just saying, I read that report. I said, you have got to be kidding me. She texted to me. I said, what? My wife said, honey, calm down. Calm down? We were with our friend, didn't we? She said, honey, don't. And the lady that was with us said, is everything all right? She said, he get like that. She was right. I'm sitting there looking at my phone. I did. If I hadn't had a brand new phone, I'd have thrown it. I just bought that phone. I'm saying, what? This is crazy. So we owe God a lot today. Yes, sir. I'm sorry you came today. This is not a good time. You want to go outside and come back? I'm finna get in. No, I'm just kidding. He said, so they got to go further. Now, what was it? It was dedication, discipline, development, and distraction. Here's the problem. I just distracted most of y'all. When I start talking about money and you know you stealing, you got distracted. You saying, is he going to call my name? Am I preaching good? Hey, good to see you again. Distractions. Y'all got distracted because I changed the subject, but it's all the same thing. Because as we begin, it talks about spiritual maturity. It talks about being mature in the things of God. He said, if you're not that far along, you're going to get distracted. You're not going to develop. You're not dedicated. You don't even have no discipline. It takes discipline to serve, to grow, to maintain. I don't go up there every time I turn around. You're going to go. See, if you don't have discipline, you become distracted and you walk out of your dedication. Well, I guess you're right. I wish my wife would not show up to church on Sunday. I leave home before she do. She got a car. You know, and y'all notice every now and then I keep looking till she come in. I wish she would not come to Bible study. I wish she would not tithe. I would handle that business. Men folk, hear me well. You are the head. Don't you ever forget you are the head. I don't care unless she's sick. And if she's sick, I'm going to call for the elders of the church. And we're going to pray that the Lord will heal. Amen. Y'all, I know some of y'all got it twisted. Y'all think I don't treat my wife good. I treat my wife like a queen. Y'all, I mean, I play around here. Y'all think I'm kidding. But shoot, we were sitting up there in first class the other day. And we were sitting in the first seats. I said, I want the first seats for my baby. Every time we got on a plane, we was in the first seats. We were the first one on. People walking by saying, who are these people? We was in the airport. Some guy called me coach, didn't he? Tell me, hey, coach. I said, hey, how you doing? I don't know who he thought I was. But he saw me in first class. Hey, coach. I said, hey, how you doing? I had my FSU shirt on, so I guess he thought I don't know. Step and say, who that? I said, I have no idea, but he think I'm the coach. I mean, you know, you understand what I'm saying? How dare I let her fall by the wayside? I'm the head. Don't you ever forsake your headship. That takes discipline. The Bible says the man ought to rule well his house. My house is everywhere I go. And just talking about your physical address. I wish I would. It takes discipline, dedication, development. You can't be distracted. Got to stay focused. And then I add one. Here's the new one. Because I knew it was four. Here's five. Get ready. Write five. Dialogue. You got to talk this talk. Takes a dialogue. You got to have a conversation with God. You got to be able to speak the word. Dialogue. Because what you say matters. Every word that proceeded from the mouth of God matters. So every word that proceeded from the child of God matters. Hear me well. What you say to your children, what you say to your wives, what you say to your husbands, what you say to your pew partners matters. Dialogue. What's coming out of your mouth? The fruit of your lips. Am I preaching good? Matters. I don't want to speak poison all the time. You cannot speak the fruit of your lips if there's no fruit on your lips. We know the tree by the fruit that it bears. If ain't nothing in you, ain't nothing coming out of you. God help us right there. You find empty people, ain't nothing coming out of them but rattling and noise, clanking, foolishness, maliciousness. How many of you know malicious people? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Don't. I mean, the reality is, he said, listen, you have to understand that what comes from your mouth, watch this now, will either bless you or break you. What comes from your mouth will either bless you or break you, physically, mentally, emotionally. How many of you ever said to yourself, I don't feel good? And you tend to not feel good. How many of you say, ooh, I'm having a good day? How many of you have had something happen to you emotionally and you had to deal with it, and either you deal with it or it kind of tears you down a little bit? What comes out of your mouth will either bless you or break you. I can't do this. I can't make it. I'm tired. I don't feel right. It starts to get to you, doesn't it? I can't pay my bills. I can't make ends meet. I ain't going to be able to fend. All of those things come out of your mouth. And they're generated from your knowledge base. How many of you have heard somebody say, every time I turn around, the same thing keep happening? Because you stored that away. How many of you have had somebody try to prophesy, I know how this is going to turn out because last time it happened? You stored that away. And that's what's hurting you. Because it happened to you last time, and you see the same set of scenarios starting out play. Instead of you now doing something corrective, something different, you just fall into that rut, and you go back into, and then you next thing you know, you're sitting in the corner like little Jack Horner. What comes out of your mouth? What comes out of your mouth has a great deal to do with what you have put in your head. How many of you can speak a foreign language? Because you learned it. You wake up in the morning and start speaking German and they're going to learn German, you need to call somebody and tell them about that. Because either you have learned it or you are a phenomenal person. What comes out of your mouth? If you start speaking the Deutsch, you got to learn that somewhere. That's German for speaking the language. You can't just say that. Now, sometimes things happen to us unawares. And that's the reality of it's called living, y'all. Nudge your neighbor, tell them it's called living. The world got a saying for it, but in the church we just say things tend to happen. Y'all know how the world say it. But he said, listen, we have to be able to discern. We have to be able, that's the word I was going to add, discern. So you might as well go and put it down now. I gave it away. That's the sixth word, discern. You got to know the difference. How can you be a Christian all these years and still not have discernment? Why do you keep falling for the same okey-doke? How can you not see that coming? You ain't the only one with financial troubles. Watch this. Anybody in here with some financial trouble, raise your hand. All of us got financial troubles until we get to be millionaires, and then you still got financial troubles because every Negro you know going to be calling you. You will have cousins out the yin-yang. Man, come on, man. Give me some of that money. I know I'm going to call you. I will be calling about 10%. Win the Powerball. Let me find out about it. I will find you and remind you that the Lord are good. He had brought you from a mighty long ways. Out of the mire, he lifted you. Now write the check. You know why? Because you owe him. Discernment, he said they should know. I'm still in verse 14. He said, by now, spiritually mature and developed people who are not distracted, who are dedicated, who have developed, who know the dialogue, should be able to discern. Am I doing all right? The gardener, the vine dresser. Y'all remember him. Deacon Walker, man walks up to him. Says, man, look at your field. See, we know you. We thought you would have planted good seed. Didn't you go down and get the good stuff? Didn't you? You know what he said? He had discernment. He said, an enemy has done this. He knew the difference between what he planted and what was being produced. See, some of y'all let the devil fool y'all. Y'all get mad at me. It ain't me you ought to get mad at. You say, Pastor, put good. See, why am I mad at him for teaching me and holding me accountable? Why am I walking away from the church? Why am I not going to Bible study? Why am I not tired? He ain't said nothing wrong. The enemy trying to do this. Thank you. Say it aloud. It just happens, y'all. He said, this is not my fault. I'm not going to lay blame to anybody. They trying to get him to point the finger at somebody. I mean, they want him to go back and sue Home Depot for bad seed. Or they want him to go down to the rail yard and sue the conductor. No, he said, this is an enemy's work. Can I tell you what happens to a lot of us? Pray it's not none of y'all. When good teaching and discipline and distractions and the dedication and development, the enemy start messing with y'all. Because he hoping you won't discern that it's a trick to get you from further learning. If I can stop you now, the man said this at the conference, the devil ain't got no problem with us starting. He just don't want us to finish. And the closer you get to the finish, the more hell he gonna raise. Some of y'all misunderstood that you were getting close. You thought that this was just to tell you. The devil said, ooh, they're getting it. I got to do something. I got to mess with their wife. I got to mess with their money. I got to mess. And he knows what distracts you. He don't care about you starting. The devil done seen many people start. That's why when we started out with our leaders, we had a whole lot of them. He didn't have no problem with all that. We had, what, 50, 60 people in here, Jennifer? The devil didn't care about that. It's that when we start doing stuff, when we broke out into groups, and the devil said, oh, hell, they're getting it. Wait a minute. If they keep going like they're going, they're going to grow that church. Remember the first time we worked real hard, that revival that year? Man, we had the church. Ooh, people were coming. The devil said, uh-oh. He said, if I don't stop them now, they're going to finish that. So he plucked one out and plucked another, started some infighting, started some messed up. One time we were emailing and blasting. We were having a good old time talking each other over the wire. I ain't seen an email and I don't know when. I don't get no more texts. People opted out of the little text thing we did. The devil said, they're getting too close. They're beginning to be united. They're starting to walk hand in hand. They're starting to help each other and love each other. I got to stop that. And we didn't know how to discern. Well, some of y'all didn't. I knew what he was doing. I tried to tell y'all, discernment is a gift. I've had it a long time. That's why you got to learn. He said they should know the difference. Dialogue, discernment. You got to know, he said the enemy did this. He said nobody's fault. This is what the enemy does. How many of you know that that's just what he does? It's his job to tear husbands and wives apart, to tear preachers apart, to tear deacons apart. He said, if they stay like that, they're going to be stronger than I can handle. Let me catch them now. And what happens to us? We fall for the okey-doke. Next thing you know, we ain't coming to church one Sunday. Next thing you know, we're not giving one Sunday. Next thing you know, we missing a meeting. Next thing you know, I don't want to hear that. We don't want to take no phone calls no more. Our text buddy can't be our text buddy. People we used to have lunch with, we don't want to eat with no more. I ain't hungry. All of a sudden, now you ain't hungry much as you eat. When you stop eating, I'm fasting. You lying. You just being non-cooperative. Anyway, I ain't crazy. Then you got a hamburger under your desk. I mean, come on. Who are you for? It's discernment. You didn't know how to figure it out. You should have prayed about it. You know why I didn't get a lot of amen? Because we don't do enough praying around here. So we got to get better at praying about things. Jesus. Not P-R-E-Y-I-N-G. But P-R. See, we pray on each other. I'm good for them. I'm glad. I knew it was going to happen. That's praying on people. Waiting on your brother and sister to fall. Waiting on some trouble to come. So you can say, well, yeah, they were so holy. Why that? I almost said it. But bad things happen to holy people too. Don't think of bad things. I said, yeah, if they were so holy, the Lord wouldn't have let that happen. Let me tell you something. Stop blaming stuff on God when you won't give him credit for everything. Why you want to blame him for some things? Did I say something, Jess? I was looking for you earlier. Where you been? When I needed you, you wasn't here. I did my Michael Jackson thing. You wasn't here. I know. Thank you. That's what I need. So the reality is, he said, you blaming the wrong person. You can't discern. He said, they are mature. Watch this. Let's read it. Solid food is for those who are mature, who have trained themselves to recognize. That's discernment. The difference between right and wrong, and then do what's right. How about this? Stay with God. Stay in the church. Keep learning. Stay in the choir. Stay on the usher ministry. Stay on the team. Don't quit now. Again, if you can quit so soon, you ain't that far from where you started. The further you go, it's hard to go back. You, man, I ain't going back. They got a song they say, won't go back. Can't turn back. He ain't gonna be bossing me around. I ain't his flunky. You know what I discovered, Deacon Anderson? Some of y'all would rather be my friend than be my disciple. As long as I'm laughing with y'all, we talking about football and stuff, y'all like me. When I try to be your pastor, your real pastor, you get mad at me. But I still love you. Love you more. Y'all stop calling me. They won't come see me. Nobody put nothing in my hand no more. I was down to Good Shepherd. Saw 3 or 4 people walk up and put something in the pastor's pocket. I said, darn. Ain't nobody put nothing in my hand in a long time. That's called love. Used to be a time folk want to wash my car and cut my grass, pay for my haircut. Then all of a sudden, nobody wasn't being nice. Y'all got mad because I was pastoring. Long we were laughing and clowning. Y'all were just, woo, I love my pastor. He cool. But when I dropped the hammer, since now and then, nobody come by the church and say, hey, Reverend, none of that happened. No, nobody wanted to love me no more. Poor baby. But you know what I did? I loved on myself. I didn't stop loving y'all. But Paul says, we got to do it right. And the only way we're going to do it right is for me to teach you right. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says in Jeremiah, I believe I'm right, he said, man of God, if you don't do this right, the blood on your hands. God ain't going to be mad at y'all because I didn't do it right. He's going to get me. And can I tell y'all something? I got enough stuff on my plate already that I'm praying God done pushed in the garbage can without adding something else. Can we be honest? I have not lived a perfect life. So you think I want to add some more stuff? I'm trying to hope and pray that when I do get there, the Lord said, go ahead. I ought to stop you, but go. If he say that, I'm going to be all right. If he say, I ought to not let you in. I'm going to say, yes, sir. I'm going to be standing there humble. Yes, sir. But as soon as I get by this far past, I'm going, oh, yeah. He goes, hey, come back here. I'm going to hide behind Jeremiah. I said, where'd that Mitchell go? I think he's over there, Lord. He's going to have to find me. I'm going to hide me in the cleft of the rock. He's going to have to find me. Shoot, I'm in now. Then I'll be looking at some of y'all. Hey, you might not make it. So he said, this is what happened. Now, watch this. The maturity level comes. But now let's look at what happens to immaturity. Immaturity happens when we won't listen. We're not learning. We're not being led. And we refuse. This is a good one, to be limber. In other words, flexible. I added that one. We won't listen. We're not learning. Don't want to be led. Let me tell you something. I love y'all, but my primary responsibility is to lead you. I'm a shepherd. I told y'all before, and some of y'all roll your eyes when I said it, but Sister Anderson, I'm going to say it again. If I hadn't come here to be pastor, I'd have never met some of y'all. I'd have never met Larry Walker, Chris Anderson, you know, chances are. So don't deny me my responsibility. My responsibility is to lead y'all. I'm a shepherd. I'm not a homie. I'll be a homie on another time. We can go to a football game. I like to have fun. Y'all know that. I'm a fun guy. And we can do that. But let's make sure we don't get it twisted. That sounds good. Don't get twisted. My job is shepherd. And the day you stop seeing me as shepherd, you got a problem. I don't care if you call me Leroy. My name is Michael. My wife called me that. Most time around y'all, she called me pastor. She's trying to be nice. But I don't care. You call me what you want. You can say, hey, Leroy, and I say, hey. I'm not one of them guys that get 20, because my birth certificate says Leroy. My assignment, my calling is pastor. So, I mean, if you want to be disrespectful or you think we cool like that, that's all right. You know, we get in certain places, you know, pastor, we at King's Dominion. You mind if I call you Leroy? You can call me Leroy if you want. It don't make me no difference, because I'm not going to lose anything. But mind this in your tongue and your head. If you can handle that, you go for it. Leroy, that's me. But if you mess around and start thinking I'm just Leroy, I'm going to get you. I will drop the hammer on you just as sure, because me and MC Hammer went to the same school. Please, Hammer, don't hurt him. That's what he said. But in that case, we're going to set hurting aside and go for it. What I'm trying to tell you is you got to learn. You got to listen and let me lead. I know what I'm doing. I'm good at this. I can do this anywhere. Trust me, I can. I was doing it before I got here. I'll be doing it when I leave. But you got to be limber. You need to understand that your life is not about being rigid. That goes against my grain. You ain't got no grain. You don't own nothing. The grain is the Lord's. The seed is the Lord's. The fruit is the Lord's. See, y'all, we getting quiet. You just got to flow with it. Roll with it. What did that song say? When I roll with the punches, I got knocked on the ground. All right, we'll stop right there. The reality is, some of y'all don't want to be limber. Some of you all have your own dogma, your own thing, and then when I go up against that, I drop off right there. I'm all right up until. No, you are not made by God to have your own dogma. The Bible does not say that man did not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of your mouth. We live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Nobody care what you say, Deacon Jared. Unless you're saying what he's saying, nobody want to hear it. Sit down and shut up. Nobody care what you say, Vicky. Sit up there preaching your doctrine. We don't want to hear that stuff. Sit down. What is she up there talking about? Hey, somebody go pull her dress. You ain't have no coach. If you preacher, we put, man, you pull you. You know, you up here talking foolishness. And you want us to say amen? Don't nobody want to hear that stuff? If I was in charge, if I was the Lord, sit down. We want to hear what God is saying. And the only way you're going to say what he says is you read what he wrote. You need to be limber. You need to be able to go with it. You know, there's seasons when God gives us a lot of liberality. He's liberal with us. He allows us. How many of you know that God has allowed you to make some mistakes? Some of y'all plan your mistakes. Some of some of us are premeditated sinners. Don't y'all look at me like y'all don't believe me. Some of us plan to do stupid stuff. We plan to be sneaky. Plan to get, and God says, I see you. And then you have nerves to say, well, the Lord didn't want me to do it. He'd have stopped me. You know what? If God really, let me tell you something. Some of the stuff we got on our agenda, God ain't going to even let us get out of bed. Our whole day is jacked up. If that be the case, we'd have never got out of bed. I like your hair, Sister Walker. It's my hair day. I'm noticing hair. You know what I'm saying? If the Lord didn't want me to do it, some of y'all ain't going to never get out of bed. But you know what God is? He's liberal. He says, I see you. When you were smoking weed, crack, stealing, lying, adultery, pornography, sin, oh, gambling, stealing. God said, I see you. But you know what? Aren't you glad that he loves you for your good and not your bad? Aren't you glad that he doesn't cancel your future because of your past? There ought to be some shouting somewhere. Because all us in this room know we got a history. And thank God that we don't do background checks. So God said that you, if I can be flexible, you need to be flexible. Let the man of God shape you and mold you. You got to listen so you can learn. You got to understand. Watch this. What spiritual correction does is eliminates the faults. What spiritual correction does, it eliminates or at least corrects the faults. Remember, we're talking about our foundation. We told you it was a long lesson on foundation. We're looking at our foundation. When we were building our houses, we walked around and we watched everything they did, didn't we? And we said, hey, man, this don't look right. Now, we may not have known, but to us, to our eye, this is my house. I don't like the way that looked. And the man said, well, wait a minute, Mr. Mitchell, Mr. Anderson. And if they can explain it well, we kind of went, oh, okay. But still, we watched again. How many of you ever took your car somewhere and had it washed? And when you got it back, you looked at it and went, hey, man, y'all missed the wheel. Or they let us, didn't you say something? Or you just said nothing. Well, I ain't going to say nothing. Did you pay them? Trust me this. If I pay a dollar, I want a dollar's worth. You know what I'm saying? You want everything corrected in your secular life. Then why you want your spiritual life left unchecked? Huh? I had to call that man back. Blah, blah, blah. Well, why you come to this part of your life and try to leave me alone? Y'all be glad I'm in the church. No, I ain't glad. I don't want no hellions in here. I got enough to deal with out there. You think I want to be in here where I can't trust people? I told you before and I'll tell you again. I have no problem ducking arrows and knives that come from across the fence. I have a real problem when the arrows and knives are within the fence. I'm sitting in the confines of the church and got stabbed. I'm like, where'd that come from? Anybody seen Deacon Richburg? See if he got a knife. I mean, I'm sitting in the place where I ought to be safe and get shot. Boom. What happened? Where Deacon Anderson at? You know, he got a gun. You can't let that happen in the house. If we got faults, we need to fix them. Talking about leaning on the everlasting. We don't need to be leaning. We need to be standing up. I just took one of the best songs out of the church, didn't I? I mean, everybody in the church crooked. Everybody in the church faulty. Everybody in the church jacked up, and we don't want to do nothing about it. Your family life ain't together. Husbands won't sit with wives. Daughters won't respect their parents. Sons don't honor their fathers. And we ain't supposed to say nothing? You're going to look at me and confess to me that you hate your parents, and I'm supposed to say, well, bless you, man. No, you need to go to your mom and daddy. I ain't going to do it. You need to go to your mom and daddy. Don't get mad at me for telling you the truth. You got a crack in your foundation. You will not see Jesus with hate. He's not going to give you a pass on a commandment because you're good in the church. You got a fault. I do this. Let me say something. You cannot try to impress upon God by doing good and you know you got bad over here. God said, until you fix that, don't come back in here. The Bible says you can't even present an offering to God when you got hate for your brother. God said, I don't even want your money. I don't want your tithe. I don't want your offering. Now, for some of us, that's an excuse not to give it now. But don't let it fall for the okie-doke. Bring it in how I take it. If he won't, I'll take it. You got to understand, he said, this is the word of God to your life. And you don't want me to say nothing? My job is to lead. Your job is to learn, to listen, and be liberal. Get limber. He said, Pastor, I got to roll with that. Man, that hurt, but it helps. You do know that, right? Spiritual maturity says, man, I got to suck this up. I told y'all before, I've made phone calls. I've sent texts. I've hooked up on Facebook just to tell people, man, I'm sorry. And you know what happens? 99% of the time, they say thank you. Oh, hey, we good. I appreciate your integrity. I honor my father. I told y'all before, if my mama called me right now and said, baby, I need you to come home, one of y'all preach, I'm going to see about my mama. Oh, yeah, I'm gone. I'm out of here. If my brother, the bishop, calls, I'm going to see about the bishop. That's my family. And if you don't see that in your pastor, how are you going to learn it? Because you'll say, man, his mama come. He didn't even go. That's disrespect. Somebody will say that. Somebody, Miss Wilson, the prophet, she'll say, Reverend, didn't your mama ask you to come home? Reverend, you go take care of your mama. We got this. That's what I'd like to hear. Because if you see that in me, you're going to do it. He said, well, pastor didn't even honor his mother. You know what I'm saying? What I'm saying? If my baby called me and said, dad, thus and thus. Now, I'm going to talk trash, and she know that. How many parents know you get to talk trash, but then you still got to do something? Don't look at your mama like that. That's right. As a parent, you're supposed to talk trash first. Then look at your wife and say, let me go on down here and see what's wrong with this girl. Amen. And most mothers will look at the husband and go, now, Larry, yours ain't old enough yet. But you're going to say that. It's going to come a day when Caleb, Jacob, one of Jordan, you're going to say, now, Larry. And he's going to go, don't look at me like that. But all the while, he's going to be putting his pants on. You're going to tell him, go on, get that money. Trust me, I'm telling you. You got to learn. You got to listen. Stop refusing to be led. He just a pastor. He ain't my boss. Do you know pastors rank higher than bosses? Do you know we got the highest pecking order in your life? Read your Bible. You are not reading the Bible. I gave you pastors. But one time from him, you not read him and say, I gave you governors, I gave you presidents, I gave you senators, I gave you dad. He said, I gave you pastors. Ooh, y'all ain't saying amen. God gave me to you so you can listen, so you can learn, so you can be led, and ultimately so you can live. Because you're going to die without the word. How do you know that? They perish for the lack of knowledge. That's word. Oh, I thought I'd get some amens. You don't look at me like that time. Every time I turn around, every time I got to do this, because you need to do it. I told you before, I never asked you to do anything I wouldn't do. I love my pastor. They'll tell you, we've done that this week, my pastor. I honor my pastor. I stood in line with him, helped him get his food. I brought it to him. I moved the table for him. I made a chair for him out of my own hands. I made it. No, but that's my pastor. Didn't y'all see me honoring my pastor? When he needed me to go in the back, I went. He said, Mitch, can you do something for me? I said, yeah, I got it. I went and put his stuff in the car. That's my pastor. And in there, he ain't got enough help around there, is it? But that's my chance to be with him. And I want to know how much I love him. That's my pastor. And I made sure he was safe when he got ready to leave because them ladies said, put that money in his pocket. I said, oh, you want me to hang around a minute? He said, go home, man. I said, well, you know, one pocket got more than the other. His anniversary is next month. I've already sent his gift. He's my pastor. He had said stuff to me hard. He was telling on me during the training too, wasn't he? I said, you know, telling our secrets. Y'all saw me walk out? I walked halfway out. I turned around and came back. He ain't got a minute telling on me. That's my pastor. He has the right to talk about me. And he has the right to call me in and say, hey, man, sit down. And I do. I did. You know, what I'm telling you is you have no excuse for having a raggedy foundation. When we try and teach you, shore up your cracks and make your life tremendously better. You got to listen. What about say, harden not your hearts when you hear from God. But rejoice that the word is nigh unto thee. Y'all thank God. God sent us a pastor who loves us and teaching us. Anniversary coming up. Did I say that? Oh, I thought I just... You understand, he said, listen, they have foundational issues. Structures fall when the foundation is not good. The greater tragedy is that lives fall. The divorce rate is high. That's a bad indication about foundations. Teen suicide is at an all-time high, as is teen pregnancy, as is financial ruin in families. Unemployment rates are high. These are structural issues. Corporate America got foundational problems because saved men don't run companies. Saved men don't issue out payroll like they used to. This is about structural, and it's spiritual. They jumped on that man at Chick-fil-A because he said something that was sound. And thank God for those of you who went and stood in line to support Chick-fil-A. He's right. He's a Christian. It don't matter whether you want to be gay, straight, lesbian, transgender. The word is the word. We love everybody. I don't care. It doesn't matter. If you're a lesbian, gay, straight, transgender, LGBT, I love you. I'm not going to put you out of church. I'm not going to. But I'm going to tell you this now. We're going to talk turkey. We're going to talk truth. Because what you do in your private time, that's on you. That's on you. Now I would strongly suggest to all of us that we have some discipline in our lives. But that ain't the only issue before us. People are stealing. People are robbing. Let's not take one issue and make it the issue. That's not the issue. That's not the issue. The issue is let's love each other. Because I love you. If God says, and he does, that he hates sin but loves the sinner, can't we just love each other? Why I got to get mad at you because you want to be something a little different? All of us choose what we want to choose. Some of us got two or three choices going at the same time. Just don't let nobody know it. Amen. Don't fool yourself. The person you see in church ain't only one of them. Y'all remember that movie Sybil? Sybil was a lot of people. About seven people going on in there. Amen. So let's not hate each other. Let's not get twisted. This guy made a statement about structure. Bible says we got to be spiritually mature. How much time I got? Oh, my time is at the end. Let me get this last one in. Three things: drifting, straying, and struggling. Write those down. Drifting, straying, and struggling. Those are realities, and we can fix that. We can fix that. Y'all got them down? What were they? Drifting, straying. All right, straying. Chapter 6. Everybody ready? Verse 11. Here we go. Our great desire is that you will keep right on loving others as long as life lasts. Watch this now. In order to make certain that what you hope for will come true. He says, stay there. Keep loving. What you believe, don't drift away from it. Don't stray. He said, what you want. Listen, the reality is, what do you want? I mean, if you don't want to be a Christian, it's still about choice. How many of you have ever had that I don't like my job day? But you stayed, didn't you? I mean, you know, if you walk out of there, it's not likely they're going to let you come back. You do know that there's about 50 people want your job already. But you don't walk away, do you? How many of you ever had that, why did I get married day? Amen. Deacon Anderson's head was like the Exorcist. He said, when you had one of them days? He said, my hand didn't go up. His hand went up. He just was waiting to see if you went first. Y'all know that my hand didn't go up either. I'm smart. I mean, you know, but you don't walk away. I mean, you had that, why did I have kids day? You know, I mean, but you don't walk away. So why is it that the church is so easy to leave? Why is it that your ministry work is so easy to give up? Why is it that what you were doing for God is so easy to stop doing? You put up with all that other stuff for years. Some of us work jobs for years. Stop doing. You put up with all that other stuff for years. Some of us work jobs for years. And when we retire, say, I hated that job. But you think you did 35 years. Why you walk? How you walk out on God, who is everything? Remember, in him, we live, move, and have our being. How do you walk? You're going to drift. Bible said, make sure your anchor holds and grips the solid. How you going to drift? I ain't going to church no more. You do know the first quit is the easy quit. No, excuse me, the hard quit. After that, it get easy. And see, the first time you don't go to Bible study, you feel like kind of bad. Man, I should have went. Then next Sunday, next Thursday, you don't go. Then next Thursday. And after a while, you know the whole lineup on ABC on Thursday. And then one Sunday, you get up, you know, like, man, I don't feel like he and him. I know he on this series on giving. I don't feel like him. He been talking about his foundation. I ain't going. And then the next Sunday, you know, you wrestle a little less. And then the next Sunday, you wrestle a little. And then before you know it, that's your go to the beach Sunday. Wash your car Sunday. What you do on Sunday? Ah, man, I get up on Sunday morning. Man, me and my wife go to Cracker Barrel, eat us a good breakfast. Then we ride over to the mountains and take the Blue Ridge Trail. I thought you was a deacon. Oh, man, I don't do that no more. Amen. You got to be kidding me. You died on the Lord? Yeah, man, that pastor, every time I turn around, he's talking about deacon this and deacons all do that. I'd rather be with my family. Well, what you going to do when the Lord come? I don't even think he's coming. It's been a long time since the Lord. Am I still down here? That's what's going to happen if you don't stay with the Lord. You ain't going to never get up. You'll always be down. The money ain't going to never get right. The marriage ain't going to never get right. Hey, y'all. I bet them kids say, what happened to the pastor? He done fell out on the... But, you know, I'm just telling you, what I'm telling you is, there's a certain reality to this. If you drift, that means you didn't have a good grip. And ain't nobody's fault but your own. See, we don't like truth like that. I need him to tell me that. You do need me to tell you everything. Because you ain't going to learn it nowhere else. They don't teach what we do here nowhere else. So don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself. All right. We're going to stop there. The kids are here. So we're going to stop there. We're going to mark our books. Let me see, I got right here, and we'll catch up next time. This is August. August the 5th.